Hello and welcome to the program and happy Mother's Day. Hopefully moms are going to be waking up to breakfast in bed today and won't have to clean up the kitchen afterwards. Isn't that the way it always works? You know, for some women here in North Texas, this is going to be their first Mother's Day. And for some of those moms, they are now moms because they adopted through foster care. The month of May is National Foster Care Month. It is a time to acknowledge the 463,000 American children and youth in foster care and the foster parents, the volunteers, the mentors, the child welfare professionals, and those policymakers who help find them permanent homes and connections. And to acknowledge those nonprofits here in our area who are doing what they can to help those children and youth who have been taken from their homes. One such agency here in North Texas is Jonathan's Place. The mission of Jonathan's Place is to provide a safe place, loving homes, and promising futures for abused and neglected children, teens, and young adults. And joining me on the phone today to talk about Jonathan's Place and how they are helping find homes for children who are in foster care is Elizabeth Rudell. She is the Director of Foster Care and Adoption at Jonathan's Place. Also on the phone is Carla Arenas Itotia. She is an adopted mother, and Carla is going to be sharing her journey with us today. Elizabeth, Carla, welcome to the program, and happy Mother's Day to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Elizabeth, I'm going to start with you. With it being National Foster Care Month, what do you wish more people knew about the kids who are in foster care right now?
I think I'd wish that more people would understand how many kids really are in need of a loving home and how fostering can really completely change the life of a child and just provide them with so many opportunities that they wouldn't otherwise have.
As the Director of Foster Care and Adoption at Jonathan's Place, how big is the need for foster parents right now, Elizabeth?
It's huge. I would say that we definitely do not have enough foster parents. We can always use more, always.
Carla, you're a mom, thanks in part to Jonathan's Place. You have two children. One is your biological child, and one, I always loved how Barbara Walters said, one was born in your heart. How did your journey begin? When did you decide that you wanted to adopt through the foster care system, Carla?
Well, I think my journey began a long time ago with a personal story, and so I had a connection to it that made me want a desire to do adoption. But if I speed it up several years, my husband and I, we had lots of conversations about all of the different options of adoption, and we felt that foster care was the right one for us, and we just went for it. So we started looking for agencies and did the orientations and resource fairs, and we found Jonathan's Place, and we felt like that was the best fit for our family.
Did you find Jonathan's Place online, or was it recommended to you? How did you find out about Jonathan's Place?
Well, we went to an orientation that I believe the Department of Family Protective Services hosts. And so when we did that, they gave us a gym packet of some sort. So on the packet, they had various agencies that was focused on our region, because depending on where you're living, we have different regions, right? And different agencies that can serve us. And so I looked at the packet and I started to go down each resource and started looking at their websites and reading about them and what they're about, what their aims are, the personality of the agency, their brand, what they say. And we found that Jonathan's Place was the best fit of them all. We liked what we saw and what we heard and what we read. And so we started to approach them and calling the agency to do the next steps. And that's kind of how it happened.
Now, did you already have a child and then decide to adopt through the foster care system, Carla?
Yes, that's how it happened. Mm-hmm.
And you said that you had this kind of personal connection. Are you willing to share that with us?
I can share a bit. I think my mother always wanted to adopt. For privacy of those that I care about, I won't share too much. But my mom wanted to adopt, and then there were some other additional family dynamics that occurred that allowed me to see the value of adoption, the power of an unconditional love, and the way the trajectory of my life would have looked very different due to the decisions of the adults in my life, right? Mm-hmm. And so based off of seeing how much I was loved and how my life would have been different had people made different decisions, I realized, man, I really want to do this. I want to do this one day. And so eventually I got married and I brought it up to my husband, and my husband was on board. And, you know, I think there's lots of conversations. Every family has to figure out what they want to do when it comes to family planning, right? But my husband and I were on the same page. We discussed it a lot, and we had our first son, our only son, really, because we only have one biological child. And it was amazing, tiring, exhausting. You know, I think it would be crazy not to acknowledge the pressures of parenthood, but there's also great joy in it. And so when we were ready to add a second child to our family, we really wanted it to be done through adoption. And so we did. And it's the best thing that could have happened to our family.
It was always meant to be. Is that how you felt when you found your child?
Oh, absolutely. She chose us.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Now, did you adopt a baby, or was your child older when you adopted her?
An older child. And I think that that is so important for people to hear, because when people think about adoption, I think everybody's natural inclination is to a baby. But the reality is that, you know, a baby, a 6-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 14-year-old, like, they all need a family, and they all need love. And they, you know, when we have kids who need parents and parents who need children, it makes no sense to only specifically think like babies are the only option, right? So we wanted a daughter. We already had a son, and we didn't want a newborn per se. We wanted somebody closer to my son's age. It brings challenges. You know, I think a newborn brings challenges. A 6-year-old brings a different type of challenge. Kids are challenging.
Yeah.
But it's amazing, you know, what you can do when you open up your mind to various ages.
Elizabeth, in hearing Carla talk about her journey through adoption, through Jonathan's Place, it sounds like she and her husband did their homework. What do you want people to know about how Jonathan's Place will help people like Carla and her husband who are looking to adopt through the foster care system?
They definitely did do their homework, and they're a pleasure to work with. I think in looking to adopt through our foster care and adoption program, it's just important, like Carla said, to keep an open mind about older children, because although they do come with some more challenges that are different than a newborn or baby would come with, you can make such an incredible impact on their lives. And I think they, in turn, also can make such a huge impact on your life. And I think being open-minded to that possibility is incredibly important.
What questions, Elizabeth, should someone who is considering this be asking themselves and their family, because it is a family decision, prior to making this type of commitment?
Yeah, I think they need to ask what they're able to provide, what their home dynamic looks like, what their work schedules look like, and their availability. Because a lot of times, you know, kids in care have gone through a lot of not so great things, and so they're going to need some extra support for that. And so knowing, you know, what your family is able to offer in regards to that. If you have biological kids, how do those kids feel about bringing somebody else into the home, and how everybody can work together to support each other in that home.
My guest once again today on the phone on this Mother's Day, Elizabeth Rudell, the Director of Foster Care and Adoption at Jonathan's Place. They are a nonprofit whose mission is to provide a safe place, loving homes, and promising futures for abused and neglected children, teens, and young adults. Also on the phone, Carla Arenas Itotia. Carla adopted through Jonathan's Place. She's been sharing her story with us on this Mother's Day. The month of May is Foster Care Month. It's a time to recognize the important role that people who work with the foster care system play in supporting children, youth, and families. And one such agency here in North Texas is Jonathan's Place, and that is why we're highlighting them today. If you want more information on Jonathan's Place, visit jpkids.org. That's jpkids.org. Carla, as someone who has been through the process, I asked Elizabeth what questions someone who is considering this should be asking themselves. What advice, Carla, do you have for people who may be thinking, you know, I've always wanted to adopt, and I've always wanted to adopt through foster care? What advice do you have for them?
I think that there are multiple dimensions of the advice. One of them would be to make sure that your agency is a good fit for you. There are numerous agencies that's going to be able to serve you, and they all have a similar mission, but they all have different personalities and different ways of working. And so I was really glad that I did do the homework of being able to sort of call several agencies and kind of get a feel for what they were like before we actually decided on one. So I think that that's really important just for the process, because in my case, my process went a little bit faster than what is typically expected. But my understanding is that it can be quite long for some people. And so you want to make sure that you are working with an agency that has qualified case managers and home developers and, you know, the people who can actually guide you and answer all your questions. That's really big for me, is what type of relationship I was going to have with the agency and whether they would answer all my questions. I think parenthood is a state sometimes of having a lot of anxiety about all the different things that you need to do for your kids. And in this case, you know, you're not the only one making those decisions. There's going to be case managers and other people involved. And so you want to be able to have a supportive team that you can ask questions and feel like you're understood and heard. So that would be one piece of the advice. The other one is, you know, I think a lot of people say, oh, I wish I could adopt. It sounds nice. I would love to. But it's a very romanticized image of it. And so I think that it's really important for people to have the bandwidth and the space to allow themselves to learn, relearn things that you have been taught about parenting and children, and realize that these children often have come from hard places, right? They've gone through things, as Elizabeth said, that were not so great. So their development, their maturity, their experiences are going to impact him or impact them, right? And you need to be ready to kind of be open arms with that, right? Like, understand that there's some things that you're going to have to learn to be able to better parent this child, right? And give this child what they need and what they deserve, which is a happy, healthy home free of abuse. And so it takes some personal work, right? A lot of reflection on your personal experiences, what you went through, and learning how to parent differently. Because the way that I was parenting my son was different than the way that I had to parent my daughter. And then what does that look like when I'm parenting both of them, right, in one household? So there's that personal work and openness to doing that personal work that comes with this that I think a lot of people don't think about.
And Elizabeth, the beauty of Jonathan's Place has always been that you provide specialized training and guidance to people who are looking to adopt through foster care, like Carla. What is that training like? Because you don't just end once they have adopted the child. You are there every step of the way to help them navigate that. Are you not, Elizabeth?
That is very, very true. We are a TBRI agency, so we really utilize TBRI strategies when it comes to parenting and working with the youth in our care and our foster homes, and our staff are trained very extensively yearly on all of the different trainings that we require. And so we do provide a lot of that and offer a lot of support to our foster homes to ensure that they are trained in the best way that we possibly can to make sure when they encounter difficulties in this process that they're able to work through that. And of course, our case managers are always available for our homes when, you know, they're going through something difficult. Our training is super important.
Looking ahead at your orientations at Jonathan's Place, for people who want to learn more, you have one on Tuesday, May 14th, another on June 11th. The entire schedule up on the website, jpkids.org. That's jpkids.org. Carla, let me ask you, did you foster your little girl first and then decide that you were going to adopt her? Or were you always in that adoption process through foster care?
That's a really interesting question, because I believe, from my understanding, a lot of people do foster to adopt. I actually knew that there was another option of straight adoption, I think is what they call it. And so I knew going into this that I wanted to adopt a child who was already free and legally able to adopt. But those two processes are a little bit different, but also very similar. We had to do a lot of the same trainings, a lot of the same everything as a foster care individual. However, the licenses are different. And so we went towards a straight adopt.
Elizabeth, how does the foster program work separate from the adoption program?
So the foster program is pretty different. We license a home and open them up for foster care and adoption. So there's always the ability to adopt should that become available. We get a lot of calls from the state for kids that are needing homes. And if they fit within the parameters that that the home has set up that they would be willing to accept, then we call that home. And sometimes it's in the middle of the night. Sometimes it's in the middle of the day. Honestly, just depends when that child's removed and the need is there. And then we're able to place that child in that home, and they foster that child either until they get reunified with their parents, they go to a kinship placement, or where they could have that child in their home for quite a long time, and then that turns into an adoption. So that's a very case-by-case basis, and that's why the foster care side looks very different than a straight adopt home.
And on average, how long is a child in foster care? Because I guess the goal of everybody that works in Child Protective Services is to make sure that they have a safe place, and reunification is a goal, but sometimes that can't take place. How long would you say on average is a child in foster care?
I'd say on average about 6 to 12 months.
And for those who are in foster care for a longer period of time, one thing that Jonathan's Place has is you have a transitional living program. What is transitioning from foster care to being on your own like for these youth who have known nothing but foster care? We're getting ready for high school graduation. What would you like people to know about that transition from foster care into being out in the real world?
Yeah, that's a very important time in a child's life. And so our transitional living program works really closely with the youth in their program to ensure that they are prepared and ready as they enter into adulthood. And so that's in helping them find colleges, writing college essays, giving them prep on things like that, or if they're wanting to go more straight into the workforce and utilizing their skills into the career that they are wanting to go to. And then it's also just in teaching just basic things such as budgeting, grocery shopping, making meals, everything that you would learn in a home growing up that these kids need to know as they transition into adulthood.
And, of course, if somebody wants more information, they can go to the website for Jonathan's Place, jpkids.org. That's jpkids.org. My guest once again today on the phone on this Mother's Day, Elizabeth Rudell, the Director of Foster Care and Adoption at Jonathan's Place. They are a nonprofit whose mission is to provide a safe place, loving homes, and promising futures for abused and neglected children, teens, and young adults. Also on the phone, Carla Arenas Itotia, and she is sharing her story of adopting through Jonathan's Place. If you missed it earlier, the month of May is Foster Care Month. So I did want to highlight Jonathan's Place because they do all that they can to recruit, train, and support foster and adoptive parents. And today, there are more than 117,000 children and teens in foster care who are waiting for the love and security that a permanent home provides. And if you want information, that website, once again, jpkids.org, jpkids.org. Find out about their training sessions, their orientation. And just because you go to the orientation, Elizabeth, I do want to emphasize that doesn't mean that you're committing. You're just kind of doing your homework like what Carla and her husband did, correct?
Correct. Yeah, you're just getting more information on the process and then the process specific to Jonathan's Place as well.
Carla, how long has your daughter been in your home now?
I think about probably 9 months.
And what will Mother's Day look like for you and your family today?
Oh, I'm super excited. The first time I became a mom, it was literally my favorite holiday of the year because I felt like it was one of the most beautiful and the most difficult things I've ever done was to become a mother and be a mother every day, right? And so that day became extraordinarily special for me. And that was with one. So now imagine with two. So I'm just really excited because I feel like my family is complete. My daughter is everything. And so is my son. And I just love our family story. And I think that Mother's Day, Father's Day is a beautiful day to celebrate that us as a family, right? Because I wouldn't be a mother without her or my son.
Yeah.
So I want to celebrate them and the family that we are. And I'm just really excited for our first one together.
How much does your daughter know about her story, Carla?
About her being adopted?
Yeah.
She is very well aware of adoption, what it means, what it was. She was extraordinarily insightful throughout the entire process. I never imagined that a child so young, you know, could really understand or grasp of, you know, what was going on around her, but she knew. And so one of the most beautiful things about her story is that she knew from the moment she saw us. She wanted us. She made it very clear. And the day that we met her at the end, she said, "I choose y'all." Oh. And when asked, what does that mean? She said, for my forever family, you know? And we chose her back, right? And so it was just this beautiful story, I think, of love, because for me, love is a choice. And we made that choice from the first day. Then there was a commitment towards each other from that point forward. She's been here 9 months, and it's magical. Sometimes I look at her and think, wow, she's really here. Right? She's really here. She's my daughter.
I love that. I love that mm-hmm. so much. And I know that we talked a lot about the process, your journey through Jonathan's Place and adopting through foster care and now having your daughter. How has Jonathan's Place helped you since she's been a part of your family?
Well, it's interesting because once you're done with your training and you have your license, because it takes a while to get all your trainings, required trainings done, you kind of move on to now the matching process. And so they helped me know exactly what I needed to do to get licensed. They were following up with me, gave me all the explanations, answers to my questions. Then when I got the license, they were a part of everything when trying to match. Thankfully for me, I was licensed, I think, in May 14th and matched with our daughter, who we met just a few days later, but I know that that's kind of unusual. But it happened that way, and Elizabeth was actually my case manager, and she was phenomenal. She answered every call, every text message, every question I had, until we finally got her to move in with us. And then from that point forward, she was still there, answering all of my questions, all of my texts, and being an ongoing, stable sense of support for our family throughout the process, because the process is long, it's lengthy, right? You have a lot of questions if you've never done it before. For me, this was my first and probably last adoption ever, and so it was a huge learning curve, you know. What paper? Where do I have to sign? When do you come? Why do you come? Why is this required, right? So lots of questions, and she was there every step of the way. Even on adoption day, she was there, and she took pictures with us and everything. And while we're not required to do anything with Jonathan's Place after adoption, because now this child is legally yours, you know, I think she's always going to be a friendly face to us, and Jonathan's Place is always going to have a place in our heart, I think, as a family. And so I don't know that and everybody's can have a different choice, right? Like, everybody decides that. But for us, I think we would like to give back to Jonathan's Place, because they gave us our daughter, and that is priceless.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And Elizabeth, I know that not everyone is in a position to be a foster parent or to adopt through the foster care program. So how else can the community help Jonathan's Place?
Yeah, we offer a lot of volunteer opportunities with Jonathan's Place. We can always use more volunteers. It takes a lot to run all the programs that we have here. So volunteers are incredibly amazing. We have a lot of people that donate to our warehouse that provide kids that come into care that a lot of times they don't have anything with them. You know, a lot of times just the clothes on their back and maybe a blanket. And so having a place where we're stocked full of clothes and toys that we can bring the kids when they get placed really just helps brighten their day. So being able to get support through that is incredible. So a lot of different resources that we have.
And, of course, donations for the emergency shelter as well, and all of the other programs. Because besides the foster care and adoption services, Jonathan's Place also has the emergency shelter, providing residential care, specialized services to newborns and children up to 18 years old. They also have the girls' residential treatment, providing a home for girls between the ages of 10 and 18 who are in need of therapeutic residential care and specialized professional services. Now, these girls have experienced neglect, abandonment, physical, emotional, and sexual abuse. This program is incredible, and you can find out more about that at jpkids.org. And then there's a Safe Place program, which I love. It's the National Outreach and Runaway Prevention Program designed to educate middle and high school age children about abuse and provides immediate help and safety to youth in crisis. We talked a little bit about the transitional living program that you have. And then, of course, Jonathan's Place playing a critical role in addressing the unmet specialized needs of child sex trafficking victims. You can find out about all of their programs at jpkids.org. In closing, Elizabeth, what is the most important message you want to get across during the month of May, which is Foster Care Month?
I think just that even if you can't foster at this point, just being there to help mentor, to volunteer, to provide safety and a friendly face to these kids is incredible. And of course, foster care is amazing, and I think it can sometimes seem overwhelming, but when you get in it and you really open up your home to these kids, I think it's an incredibly rewarding experience. And not only do the kids get something great out of it, but I think a lot of times we can learn from these kids as well. And I think fostering is an incredible way to really be there for your community.
Find out more at jpkids.org. I want to thank my guest today on the phone on this Mother's Day, Elizabeth Riddell, the Director of Foster Care and Adoption at Jonathan's Place, and also Carla Arenas Itotia, and she has been sharing her story of adopting through Jonathan's Place. So thank you both so much for being on the program today.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.